For the series A Book, A Thousand Stories, this is a review of John Suchet's The Last Waltz. Each episode is enriched by beautiful music selected by Gerald Fennec. The script is mine, Patricia Salomone. We are reaching the epilogue of John Suchet's The Last Waltz. At this point, where, asks Suchet, does the Strauss family stand in the lexicon of great musical names, and what is its legacy? He will come to the conclusion that to say that the music of the Strausses lives on is something of an understatement. Since his teen years, Suchet has been fascinated by Vienna and its ties to the Strauss family. He therefore goes to great lengths to prove how Strauss music is not at all, as it has often been termed, fluffy, light, easy to the ear, rather basic. In fact, Suchet underlines the fact that great musicians, contemporaries of the Strauss family, had words of praise for their musical talent. While I cover these last two episodes of A Book, A Thousand Stories, The Last Waltz, I wish to make of them a musical gift to my listeners. So let us go to the Vienna woods and enjoy some of Johann Strauss's most loved music. have, in a previous episode, seen how close a friendship tied Johannes Brahms to Johann Strauss the Younger. So different were the two men, and so far apart their music. Yet there was mutual respect, and Brahms even put down in writing that he greatly would have loved to have composed by the beautiful Blue Danube himself. So beautiful. Let us listen to this piece to the end, without interruption. are the blue Danube. Sadly, I am told, its waters are no longer so blue. Hector Berlioz stated at Johann the Younger's death that Vienna without Strauss was like Austria without the Danube. And yes, the Danube, the blue Danube, comes up over and again in the composer's life and in his music, which has become to us common mortals synonymous with all that is Vienna. Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky is another great composer who was an admirer and who, Suchet says, expressed delight when he heard that his characteristic dances had been conducted by Johann Strauss in Pavlovsk. It was August-September 1865, and the first time that these dances were performed in the public. So, as a tribute to the great Russian composer, let us listen to one of his best-loved pieces. And yet, the most unexpected and ardent supporter of Johann Strauss, the world's king, was none other than Richard Wagner, a composer who, as Suchet writes, never penned a frivolous note. When he had arrived in Vienna as a young, inexperienced musician, Wagner had become an admirer of Strauss the Elder. 30 years later, he declared that Strauss the Younger was the most musical brain of the age. It is bewildering to read that in 1876, to celebrate his 63rd birthday, Wagner commanded an orchestra to play for him in his custom-built theatre in Bayreuth, under a popular local conductor. And which music did he choose for his relaxation and enjoyment? None but the waltzes of Johann Strauss the Younger. Suddenly, leaving his seat empty next to his startled wife, Cosima, Wagner leapt up, took the baton from the maestro's hand, and led the orchestra into the opening bars of Wine, Women, and Song. Another composer who Suchet says falls under the uber-serious category is Gustav Mahler. The 19th century closed with the death of Johann Strauss, and also of several other great composers and musicians who, in one way or another, were connected to Vienna. These included Wagner, Liszt, Tchaikovsky, Anton Rubinstein, von Bülow, Franz von Suppé, Anton Bruckner, and Johannes Brahms. The one musician who was based in Vienna that lived into the next century was Gustav Mahler, who showed such respect for Johann Strauss that, as conductor of the Vienna Court Opera, he introduced the Fledermaus into the repertoire. Yet another composer deserves due attention. It is a composer that shared the same surname as the famous Strauss family, although he was not at all related. This is Richard Strauss, a German who was in love with Vienna and with the waltz, and who was so great an admirer of the Strauss family that he set his most well-loved opera, the Rosenkavalier, in the 18th century Vienna. In the Rosenkavalier, Richard Strauss did not hesitate to echo Josef Strauss's Dinamiden Walzer. We are told by John Suchet that Richard Strauss's use of the Dinamiden Walzer cannot be seen as plagiarism, as he deliberately wanted the audience to recognize the work of a Strauss. The Strauss family were to him the laughing genius of Vienna. So, Baranok's Walzer in the Rosenkavalier is not just similar to Josef Strauss's piece. Its main theme is identical. Finally, Suchet even includes the English composer Vaughan Williams amongst musicians who, in one way or another, were affected by the immortal music of the Strauss family. To the lively sound of Johann Strauss II Jubilee March, which he composed for the World Peace Jubilee and International Music Festival in Boston in 1872, I bid my listeners farewell until next week, when we will bring this series of A Book, A Thousand Stories, The Last Waltz, to an end. I thank Gerald Fennec for his precious help with finding the best music scores, and Samuel Attard for his technical expertise.